what was behind this matter of taking the Word of God from the original manuscripts, putting it in another language, and putting that all together in one book, and getting that book reproduced, and getting that book out to people. The publishing task that all the world may know. Now we know from the Bible that the gospel is to be preached to all people, to all nations. That is basic Bible doctrine. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost." He said in Mark 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Jesus said this gospel must be preached to all nations, and then comes the end. So we know from the Bible, not because of what the preacher may say, but we know from the Bible, the strength of God's Word, that it is the will of God that the gospel be preached to all nations. Since God loved the whole world, He wants the whole world to have the Word. And it's important that I stress this at this point, and that you listen, and that you believe this, and lock it up in your heart. There's no way for a person to get saved apart from hearing the gospel. They've got to hear the gospel before the Holy Spirit can take that gospel and work conviction in that person's heart. So we know that God wants the whole world to have the whole Word. He moved upon men to speak out His Word or to write it down. He then moved upon men to protect His Word as it was written. And He promoted His Word through translation into the languages of nations. Now, I want to present the following facts to help us sharply focus on the great truth of how we got our Bible. And we're going to do this using three words. And those three words are very important when you remember how we got our Bible. First, there is the word inspiration. Our Bible is the inspired Word of God. And we're going to deal with that word inspiration. Secondly, our Bible is the preserved Word of God. And the word here is, of course, preservation. Thirdly, our Bible is the promoted Word of God. And the big word here, of course, is translation. So there are the three words that is so important for us to know: inspiration, preservation, and translation. And it's important that you know that this Bible that you have in your hand is the inspired Word of God that's divinely preserved, and God divinely help those who translated this word into our language. For you see, the Bible was not given. It was not written in English. The Old Testament was given in Hebrew. The New Testament was given in Greek and Aramaic. But we have it in the English language. The only reason we have it in our language is because of translation. Those involved down through the years in translating the Bible from those languages into our language. Now let's back up to the word inspiration. Our Bible is the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction in righteousness, and instruction in righteousness. The big word is inspiration. Now, the word inspiration, you can see here on your printed material, comes from a Greek word, which is a contraction of two words, theopneustos. The word theo, T-H-E-O, which is the word for God. That's the word, the term in the original language is for God. Theos, theo, T-E-H-O. Now you'll remember in the New Testament, there Paul referred to a person by the name, Luke, referred to a person by the name of Theophilus. Theophilus. Theophilus is a Greek name. And it comes from two words. T-H-E-O, God. Phileo, P-H-I-L-E-O, which means lover. The word Theophilus means God lover. One who loves God. Now that word here, theo here, is the word for God. And the word that's joined to that word is pneustos, which means breath. That's the word for breath. So you take these two words and put them together, theopneustos, and it means the God-breathed word. That's what we mean by inspiration. The God-breathed word. Now, the breath of God produced the word. This was given from God himself. Man did not make up the Bible. Some people have got that crazy, foolish idea that the Bible is just a collection of writings and books given by man. No, the Bible is inspired. It is given by God. It is God-breathed. God-breathed. Theos, the word for God or divinity. Pneustos, meaning breath. And this is the word of God from the heart of God to the heart of man. Now that's what I call the manuscript factor. And it's very important that you know that. You say, well, I'm not worried about all that, preacher. I got a Bible and I read it and I believe it and that's all that I'm concerned about. Well, one of these days, somebody's going to push you up in a corner and put their finger between your eyes and ask you how you know that Bible you got in your hand is the reliable Word of God. And when you say, well, all I know is it's just the Bible and I believe it. That, my friend, is not going to put you in good standing or good stead. You say, but I've got faith in the Bible, preacher. Well, the Bible says you ought to always have an answer for any man who asks you for a reason why you believe as you believe. Amen? And you're going to need to know this. You're going to need to know that there is indeed a manuscript factor here. Those original manuscripts were divinely given by God. God breathed. The breath of God produced those original manuscripts. The Word of God was given from the heart of God to the heart of man. So the Word is inspiration. Now, that simply means it is God-produced. Psalm 68 and verse 11. I want to take time to read this, and you need to mark this in your Bible. Psalm 68 and verse number 11. This should be a verse that would be a tremendous verse for us to memorize and to keep in our heart in relationship to the Word of God. Psalm 68, 11. The Lord gave the Word. That's what we mean by inspiration. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. God gave the word. Great was the company of those that published the God-given word. So, God produced it. It's from the heart of man, heart of God himself for the heart of man. Now those manuscripts in their original form were divinely inspired. We need to know that, remember that. That big word here is the word inspiration. Now, our Bible is the preserved word of God. What do we mean by the preserved word of God? All right? That inspired word, when it was copied and when it was translated, was divinely preserved. God who gave the word guarded the word. God who gave the word oversaw the translation of the word of God. He was superintending this matter of getting the word of God from a manuscript into other manuscripts and into other books. Our Bible is the preserved word of God. I want you to look, if you will, at Psalm 119. And the verse is 89 and 90. Psalm 119. The verses are 89 and 90. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. The word of God that was God-given is also God-preserved. The big word, of course, is preservation. Our Bible is preserved. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. The word preservation, as we use it here, simply means that God protected the word that he had produced. The Bible is the God-produced word, and it is the God-protected word. We need to know that. There are those who tell you, well, it's been through so many hands, we don't know whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Everybody's put in what they wanted to and taken out what they wanted to take. There's not a word of that true. You need to know this. God superintended it, and the word, of course, has been divinely preserved. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God is saying, I am guaranteeing you, I am going to protect the word that I've given. And of course, Psalm 119, verse 89, we just read, the word of God settled forever in heaven. Now, this is what I call the copying process. You see, when something is an original, you have just one. Right? All right. Suppose this paper I've got in my hand was the original manuscript. What did we learn about that word manuscript? Manuscript, it simply means something that's written down. Suppose this copy, this paper I've got in my hand was a copy, or rather the original manuscript. Now, when that original manuscript was written down, God divinely took care of that. It was given by God, the original. But since there's only one of the original, and there are many people of God, there arose that necessity of somebody copying those original manuscripts in order to get copies of that manuscript into the hands of other people. And that copying process is very, very, very critical. The spelling, to make sure that you've got every word in and that every word's in the right place. Can you not begin to see the great problem in this matter of copying the word of God? So as it goes through that copying process, God, who gave the word, is guarding the word. He's preserving his word, even though it's going through this process. Now, preservation is the big word here. God protected. When God gave the word, God protected the word. When the word of God was written down, it was protected and preserved. Preservation of the word as copied. When the word was copied, it was protected and preserved. You need to know that. You need to believe that. This is reality. This is not a dream. This is not something I've hatched up to defend my position as being one who is a literalist, and that's what I am. I am a biblical literalist. I believe the Word of God was divinely given and divinely preserved, and when I preach it, I preach the Word of God literally as it's given, because that's the way God gave it, and that's the way God wants us to receive it. The Word of God is divinely preserved. Now that brings us to the third big word that we're considering tonight, and that word is translation. God, who gave the Word, guarded the Word, and then when it came time for that Word to be translated, taken from Hebrew and taken from Greek and put into the languages of the world, God was in this matter of translation. We must know that. God promoted and God publicized the Word. The publishing task, getting the Word to the whole world. Now, this is exactly what Margaret Stringer has devoted the last 33 years of her life out there in the jungle. What is Margaret Stringer doing out there? What has she done? She has taken the Word of God as she had it in this King James Bible, and she has taken that word and translated it into the language of the Sitek tribe in the jungles of Irian-Jaya. Now that, my friend, is quite a task. Do you know really what's involved in that task? What that woman had to do, she had to have language informants from the Sitek tribe who would take every word in this Bible, every word in her case in the New Testament, every word for word in the entire New Testament, and find an appropriate word in the Sitek language that would match that word in the English Bible, and then put that word into their language and make the New Testament, really give them the New Testament in their language. Translation, word passing from one language into another language. That is a tremendous task. And there are people scattered out all over the world tonight that are giving their entire life to that one thing of translating the Word of God into another man's language. Now, what happened way back down there through the ages? Someone got a burden to take the Bible from Hebrew, Greek, and Latin and put it into the English language for English-speaking people. This is the translation task. This is the publishing task, getting the Word to the whole world. Translation of the Word from Hebrew and Greek into other languages. Now, it's very important. You read this third point here on the first page of that material that you were handed tonight. Look at this. Translation is not to twist the Scriptures to fit the worldly mind, but rather to expose the worldly mind and reveal God's plan of redemption for the ages. Now, I put that there for one reason. I put that there to help you keep in focus the problem that we're dealing with. Here we are in America today with over 400 so-called translations, paraphrases, revisions of the Word of God, or parts of the Word of God. What do they say is their motivating factor in coming up with all these new modern translations? They say they want to put the Word of God into the street language of this world, that the unconverted world can read the Word of God and understand it. But friend, this matter of translating God's Word into the language of the world is not an effort to twist the Scriptures and make it fit the pagan mind. It is to give the Word of God as God gave it to man. And when man heard that Word, the Word is to expose that pagan mind and to show that pagan mind how much they need God. And I remind you that Paul tells us very clearly in that 1 Corinthian epistle that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. He cannot understand them. They're foolishness unto him. And it's a foolish thing to try to take the Word of God and rearrange it so a lost man can sit down and read it and understand it. You don't understand the Word of God. I don't understand the Word of God apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. He helps us understand the things of God. The lost man doesn't have that. So we need to remember that translation is not to twist the Scriptures to fit the world of man, but rather to expose the world of man and reveal God's plan of redemption for the ages. Remember now, God gave the Word, and great was the company of those that published it. If you will turn the page, please. We're going to begin right now to deal with these manuscripts, the manuscript factor. And I want you to follow me very carefully. The manuscript factor. First, there is the Antioch manuscript. Now, this manuscript, the original manuscript here, now this was a course of the New Testament, was called the Byzantine text because it came from the Byzantine world, that which we call the Near East today. It's also called the traditional text. It's also called the received text. It is called by many the Textus Receptus. If someone asks you, does the Bible that you have, does it come from the Textus Receptus or the received text? Your reply is to be, of course. That's where our Bible came from. That's where the King James Bible came from. It is a translation of the received text, the traditional text, the Byzantine text. Now notice this. The Antioch school maintains strict literalist mode of orthodoxy, which demanded a greater regard for precise word-for-word copying. When I read my Bible, I want to have the assurance in my heart that this is a translation done by someone who believed in the literal mode of word-for-word translation, not putting in their opinion, not putting in their interpretation, but rather giving a word-for-word copy of the manuscript. Now, there are 5,300 copies of the Antioch manuscripts that survive. They are present in our world today. 95% or 5,000 are of the traditional text, and they all agree. These are dated 400 AD and earlier, which would be nearer the time of Christ. These manuscripts were quoted in surviving documents at least 87,000 times in 1,500 years of use. Documents from all over North Africa, across Southern Asia, and the European continent have some of these quotations. None of the Alexandrian manuscripts were used like this. And that word Alexandrian, we'll get to that in just a moment. But the Alexandrian manuscripts that came out of Egypt came from a liberal school who did not believe in the literalist mode of copying word for word. The traditional text was disregarded by some in the early 1900s who were textual critics that demanded a more liberal text. And here is where the term liberal comes into play in our study. You may say, well, preacher, that's very dull. I can't find it in myself to get excited about what you're saying. Well, let me ask you to do this. Just take my word for it. What I'm telling you is so important that the average Christian in America will never hear it. And the reason they'll never hear it is because the devil will see to it they don't hear it. And as long as they never hear it, they'll remain deep in confusion. And you'll find them running around with one of these modern, so-called, new translations of the Bible. And what they don't know is that the translation they've got come from a corrupted text, not from the Antioch text, but from the Alexandrian manuscripts. And those manuscripts were not literal copies of the original manuscripts. They were corrupted. And friend, I want to know that what I've got came from the right manuscript. You need to know that. I urge you, take this material home with you and guard it carefully. Put it in a place where you can keep it in sight. And of course, not next Sunday evening, it'll be three Sunday evenings from now before we get back to this, because next Sunday evening we'll be in our mission conference, and the following Sunday evening we'll be closing our mission conference. It'll be at least 3 weeks before we get back to this, but put this, safeguard this, keep this in a place where you'll know where it is, and get you a little file folder. By the way, if you don't have a file folder like this, if you'll see Miss Betty, we've got a good supply of them back here. We'll be glad to give you one where you can put this material in this and mark it, put your name on it, keep it with you. And when I tell you to file it away, I'm not talking about that book rack in front of you. There's a lot of you do that, you know. And it winds up in the trash can. Exercise some individual responsibility. You say, well, the reason why I do that, it doesn't mean anything to me, preacher. Well, if it doesn't mean anything to you, when we put it in your hand at the end of the class, if you would be so kind as to walk up here and deposit it back up here on the table, I'd appreciate it, because this represents hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of investigation, of study. Every one of those pages cost this church a couple of pennies. There's a lot involved in that, and I would like for you to treat it with more respect than just filing it away in that book rack in front of you. Amen? I'm not fussing at you. I'm just talking to you.